This is Blair Durham with Black Wall Street Today, your media hub for all things Black business and related news, strategy, and events.
You are listening to Black Wall Street Today, brought to you by Black Brand, Hampton Roads Regional Black Chamber of Commerce. Now, today on Black Wall Street Today, we have not only an innovative entrepreneur, but an innovative marketer, and most importantly, an innovative storyteller and communicator. I'm talking about Tony Berrios, owner of Tsunami Digital Media, LLC. Now, Tsunami was established in 2018 and has worked with a wide range of organizations, including, and get this, the City of Norfolk, the City of Portsmouth, the City of Virginia Beach, the United States Navy, Black Brand, Hampton Roads Regional Black Chamber of Commerce, and many local businesses and nonprofit organizations. Tony, the leader of Tsunami, is a native of Brooklyn, New York, and started Tsunami Digital Media as a vehicle to help other businesses grow through high-quality digital content and marketing strategies, as well as a place where talented and passionate individuals could express themselves creatively to pursue their dreams. Now, in the age where content is king, this is a conversation where you're going to want to lean into your radio. I'd like to welcome Tony Berrios to Black Wall Street Today. Welcome, Tony.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Amazing introduction. I'm over here grinning.
Did I miss anything? Is there anything else that Tsunami does for the community or for their clients there?
Nah, you covered mostly everything. I mean, if we go into the actual products and services, it's video production, audio production, marketing support, web design, logos, graphics. We really branched out and got into everything, just full service marketing and communications.
That's incredible. Now, I see here in your bio that you are a native of Brooklyn, New York. So, how long have you been in the Hampton Roads area? How long were you in Brooklyn? What's the balance there?
I've been here most of my life. Brooklyn is where my family's from, where I was born. But really, Virginia Beach is what I know best. It's funny, you tell somebody in New York and they start quizzing you on what street and what.
Like, where's the best pizza?
Right. Don't catch me on that. Brooklyn's home, but Virginia Beach is home for sure. So grew up out here in the music world and just getting involved in that. And that just kind of sparked the creativity and rolled into things.
Now, I'm looking around at the camera setup that you have in this room. I'm looking at two high-quality cameras. I'm looking at tripods. I'm looking at a lot of expensive equipment. But let me know where you started. Obviously, you probably didn't start with all of this. Did you have some type of humble beginning, like a cell phone camera or a less quality camera?
Yeah, so I started before, we're going to date ourselves here, Brian. It was before people had cell phones. Mm. Cell phones weren't even out there like that. So the first cell phone I had didn't have a camera on it at all. But the first camera I had, I believe it was like a $300 or $400 camera, something like that. And it was just getting out there and doing work for free, you know, the passion of just getting out there and creating. So that really led to the conversation about how can we use this to market other businesses and stuff like that. Because when it comes down to the music side of things, yeah, the music videos are fun, but essentially you're marketing a business. You know, every artist is an actual business, whether they see it or not.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so you started on the humble, and you started in the music world. What was the transition of getting out of the music world, or not even getting out, expanding from the music world? Because I find that a lot of videographers in our community start with music videos and then sometimes are stuck in music videos forever.
Yeah, no. So what it comes down to is we were good at the music, or good enough at that time. I mean, to our ears, it sounded good enough and we were getting better. We started on cassette tapes, learned a little bit about Windows Movie Makers, where we started making the actual songs. It wasn't even a recording software for audio. It was for video editing, but we were using it for audio. And just, you know, little by little, you just start outgrowing different software, different hardware. And the videos got to the point where it was like, you know, we're doing enough of these on our own. We got to make a little bit of investment, go out there and leap, get a light, get a little bit of a better lens, better camera. Computers were a big thing that we had to lean into and kind of get better hardware that way. But really, it was just as projects kept, you know, coming up, we started just exceeding the limits of that particular equipment and that software. So we just, you know, you have to make a sacrifice at some point. You got to choose, do you want to go out to eat every single day? Do you want to go see every movie, go to every game, go to every club event? Or do you really want to start chasing your passion? Mm. So at some point for me, you know, as far as I can remember, I always had a direction. It was real clear to me where I wanted to go. How I was going to get there wasn't 100% clear. But I knew by a certain age I wanted to have a house. Like, a random goal I had was before 30, I want to have my first house. Before this age, I want to have kids. And before this age, I want to start a business. How I was going to get there, I wasn't sure. You know, I always tell people, I can't tell you how to open a door, but I could tell you God opens doors. And then I could show you how to be ready for that door to be open. But how to open the door itself, I don't know. You know, I think it's the preparation. It's the having the portfolio, having the right attitude, and just being ready when those opportunities come up.
Gotcha. So this is Black Wall Street today. So the listenership out there is entrepreneurs, but most importantly, aspiring entrepreneurs. And this Sunday morning, driving home from church or cleaning up their living rooms, doing the big Sunday clean, there are aspiring videographers thinking, wow, I'd like to be in a position to one day do contracting work with the United States Navy and the city of Norfolk and the city of Virginia Beach. But they're feeling unprepared. They're feeling like, that's not me. Like, I didn't go to school for this. I don't have a formal education in this. So I can't possibly go to that level. Do you have a formal education in videography? Are you bringing a college degree to this? How did you bring yourself to that level?
So I don't have a degree in videography. I have no background as far as on paper in videography. What I do have, I did go to school for network security. I got my associate's degree in that. I got a bachelor's in business management. But none of that led me to where I am today. So what I'll tell you is I've had jobs where I was hired for videography, like 9-to-5s, and they didn't care about the education so much. You know, the associate's degree was kind of like, let me see if you care about education, period, but it wasn't an associate's degree in videography and marketing. Mm-hmm. It was just the bare minimum was an associate's degree. But really what led me into those opportunities was a portfolio. And the portfolio came from having the willingness to do free work. Mm. So a lot of times when I sit down with a local videographer, photographer, I start talking to them about, you know, what's your portfolio look like? And have you gone out there and talked to the local barbershops, the local restaurants, the local realtors and said, let me shadow you and do a video. Let me do something for free. A lot of them don't want to do that. And I tell them, you know, it's going to be about your portfolio 100%. Like, there's nothing else to show. These people don't care about your education as much as, you know, oh, I went to this school and I learned this. Full Sail was a big one. Awesome school. But that alone, having that on your resume, means nothing unless you have these particular projects I worked on and how you solved the problem. Because I constantly tell videographers, don't sell the video itself. You're solving a problem. You need to sell the business growth. You need to sell the awareness of your brand. You need to sell how I'm going to make your life easier. So when we do a training product, we tell people about, you know, we hear from managers all the time, oh, I'm too busy to train. Or I'm too busy to do this and that. And that's where we plug in and say, did you think about having a virtual training where you got videos to kind of supplement that? Not to replace your training, but it supplements it. And when you don't have that time, then you sit them down in front of a video and do that. So we're looking for ways to kind of solve problems in the business and not just saying, I got a 6K camera, 4K camera, book me because I make the best videos. Mm. Most clients can't tell whether you shot it with a phone or with a $10,000 camera.
Wow. So Tony just dropped a few gems that I just want to recap there. Number one, it's all about your portfolio. You have to be able to show someone that you can do the work. It's not necessarily about having the best formal education or all these degrees. Get your degree tattooed on your back. You're so excited about it. It's really about that portfolio. And in order to build that portfolio, if you're a new videographer, it might take doing some free work for local businesses. And that's the route that Tony took. I also want to recap. He said it's about solving problems. If you own a business, you are a problem solver. He just told you that it wasn't about necessarily selling the video. It's about selling the solution to issues like a manager who doesn't have the time to train. A good training video can be a solution for that problem. Speaking of solving problems, one of the problems I hear from aspiring videographers all the time is, I can't find the clientele that will pay the prices that I want to charge, and I don't know how to raise my prices and look someone in the eye and tell them that price confidently. What advice do you have for videographers who are struggling with not only finding the clientele for their pricing, but the videographers that struggle to be able to look someone in the eye and confidently tell them their pricing?
That's a rabbit hole question. There's a lot to go into that, but to kind of go over some of the key points that I discuss with people, I look at their presentation. So a lot of times we do a lot of consultations with the B-Force Accelerator, and we talk about how, you know, when you're marketing yourself to larger companies, for example, we had somebody that wanted to be the hometown notary at the particular time, and they said their particular market was the federal government. And I explained to them just a little bit of perspective. If you're going out to the federal government, the hometown notary as your business name might not be necessarily the best foot forward. Nothing wrong with being that person, but if you're looking at your ideal clientele, that might not be the way to go. So with marketing companies and videographers, we look at, you know, what's the name of your business? Mm-hmm. I go on their IG and their Facebook. How are you posting? There's nothing wrong with having fun and posting the night out and stuff like that. But if you're saying you want to go after these bigger clients, you want to talk to Sentara, you want to talk to the federal government, you want to talk to the local cities, your presentation becomes more and more important. You know, you have to understand the way these people make decisions. Some of it is superficial, but some of it is still going to go back to your portfolio and what are you putting out there. So if I want to go after federal government contracting and I say, that's what I want to do, why am I posting nothing but videos of my guy's music videos or the local restaurant? You know, those things are good, but you have to identify your niche and how you're going to go after that, right? So when it comes to pricing, I tell people, you know, most of the time they're arguing with you on price, or you might get some resistance on it because you're not really solving the problem. You know, you haven't even identified what the problem really was. You're still selling the video. You're still selling, but it's going to be 4K, but I'm coming out here with a new camera. But, you know, I'm doing this on the new software, and I'm going to put speed ramps and all these cool effects. None of that matters to the bottom line. If you're doing stuff business to business, all they care about is, if I give you $1,000, how am I getting that $1,000 back? They're going to want to know, how am I going to get more than that back? If I put $1,000 into this video, I need to see $4,000 and $5,000 back coming through the door. And a lot of them don't even address that particular situation. They'll look at quick answers like, hey, you're going to get more visibility on social media, but you got to be ready to explain why visibility on social media equals dollars in your door anyway. So in business, we talk about ROI, the return on investment. You need to be able to discuss those things intelligently. That's why we started looking at also not just selling a video, but looking at the full branding package. Like one video with us, I tell people all the time, don't spend your entire budget with Tsunami on one video. It's not going to move the needle at all for your business. You need to have a full strategy behind this thing. So after that video, what's coming after that? What are you posting the day after you put that video out? What are you posting the day after? What are you posting 2 weeks before you drop that video? I tell people, don't set up our hard work that we do together with you and that we do behind the cameras and behind the computer. Don't set it up to fail. You know, you have to start feeding social media if that's where you want to go. If you're going to be on TV, you need to start informing the content based on how long that video is going to be, where is it going, at what hours. There's a lot more that goes into just this cool video. So when we look at a different project, whether it's photography, videography, web design, we want to identify your core customer, your audience, and then build everything around that. So I think those conversations, once somebody starts identifying those things and answering all those questions, what their client looks like, not the person cutting the invoice, but what their client's client looks like and what they want to see, then you'll start getting less resistance on the money because you're actually building something that's going to scale. You're building something that's going to bring people through the door.
Wow. I hope that everybody out there in Radioland has their pens and pencils out and are taking notes, because Hot 91, Black Brand, and Tsunami Digital is bringing you gems right now. This is huge value. So you mentioned B-Force, B-Force Accelerator, the premier business accelerator in the state of Virginia. Can you tell us a little bit about how you work with B-Force Accelerator, and also tell us what type of advice you give your B-Force clients? Because I know that you're somebody who's good for talking yourself out of business. So explain that a little bit and why you do that.
So B-Force Accelerator, first, the reason why I felt the passion to get involved at the level we're involved, that we're getting more involved this year, is because Black Brand and B-Force Accelerator, in my perspective, are the only ones right now putting their money where their mouth is. When they say they want to invest into black and brown communities, they're actually doing it. And there's actual results and you're seeing it. It's not just the word of the month with the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion type of thing. Those things are important to discuss it. But when you look at what you're actually doing, you know, I tell people, I'm not trying to measure people on their words, more about their actions, right? Like, just, it's great that you got a marketing plan and you would involve all these different communities, but we're seeing Black Brand and B-Force Accelerator actually grabbing people, locking arms, and saying, I'm going to show you how to get this done. That's major. So the way we work with people, like you said, yeah, we talk ourselves out of business all the time as far as out of particular work. We're not interested in grabbing every single project that's out there, because the first thing I look at is this within the particular client's grasp? You know, when you're asking for a particular video, I'm going in there saying, why do you need a video? Why do you need it to be a particular quality? Why do you need it to be a certain length or whatever you think you need? And then I'm looking at what you could do yourself. Because I'm happy to show people all the time, here's what you could do with your phone. Here's what you could do with that ring light that you got off of Amazon. And then call us for this particular project over here. When you're ready to scale and do this, then talk to us. So the ideal client for us is not the person that's not doing anything on social media. Mm. The ideal client for us is they already believe in social media. They're posting with some kind of frequency. And now they're ready to kind of, they've outgrown their phone. Just like we outgrew our cameras when we started Tsunami. And we had to get better cameras and better lights. When you've outgrown your phone and you've outgrown the cousins and the aunts and your husband, your wife that's around you, that's grabbing your camera and getting your content for you. Because I'm like, you know, when somebody in B-Force Accelerator comes to me and they say, you know, I need a video, I'm asking questions like, have you gotten your wife involved? Have you gotten your cousins and your kids involved? Have you told them, hey, follow me with the camera and come film me when I'm cooking this or when I'm doing this consultation? Because if you haven't done those things yet, we're really not ready to have a conversation over here as far as it comes to photography and videography. Like, you've got to stretch your resources out as much as you can and then talk to us. Now, we do consultations and stuff like that. We do that type of work, and we're happy to kind of sit down with someone and partner and say, we want to meet once a month and tell you what to do with your particular equipment and the people you have around you. But, you know, really, it's extending yourself as far as you can go and then talking to us. So that's the conversation we have with B-Force Accelerator all the time.
Now, I know that out there right now, there are 100 videographers losing their minds at what you just said. You're saying that people are coming to you with money saying, I want to give you this money to shoot my video, and you are giving them reasons to not give you that money. That seems like it works against your own interest. Does that work against your own interest? Does that hurt your business model? Does that help your business model? Explain why you would turn away money in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't hurt. Absolutely not. So there's a few things. I have the heart to serve, which is why I'm so invested in Black Brand and B-Force Accelerator. If I could be doing this my whole life for free, I would. But unfortunately, life has bills and you know, we have things we have to take care of. It doesn't hurt the business at all. What I do find is, even though I do have the heart to serve and to help people, I get that enjoyment and that fulfillment out of it. On the other side of things, people have come back a year or two later, or they've talked to other clients that have got way more resources, and they say, hey, this guy here helped me. He gave me the mentorship, coached me on what I could do on my own, but he's actually got the resources to do incredible projects. Talk to him. So we get a lot of great referrals. Referrals have always been 100% retainer. You know, anytime we do a project with somebody, they immediately come back. You know, we're always doing way more stuff for them. A lot of long-term clients. So, no, it doesn't hurt. And I think it's good business. I mean, I think you treat people with respect. You invest your time in them. I get excited about seeing people growing their business and chasing their dreams. So I always love having the conversation. And I'll tell people, you know, here's the particular rate to start out with. Everything scales. But when we discuss it, I'm like, you know, you might not be ready today, but please come back when you are ready. And the door is always open. So I'm not intimidated by you making your own content and you calling me up and saying, hey, I bought this little camera here and I got this light and here's what I did. What are some tips and tricks to make this better? We regularly have conversations with people like, hey, you know, you could have done this, you could have done that. Next time, film it this way, film it that way. You can edit it with this particular software. And it's nothing that we're invoicing and nothing that we're talking about money. I just want to invest in other businesses, and as they grow, they'll call us back when they're ready.
Wow. So something that you do, number one, turning away money is just mind-blowing for a lot of entrepreneurs out there, especially videographers and marketers. Something else you do that I don't see happen in the marketing and videography world a lot is you'll consult with your competition. Other videographers in the area that come to you for advice, you'll give them advice. And if they want to schedule an official consultation and sit down with you for an hour, then you'll also do that and really put them onto game. This is something that doesn't happen a lot in the entrepreneurial community, and especially in the videography space. Why are you strengthening your competition? Isn't this against your growth?
No, I feel like, to put it blunt, it was almost like a loser's mentality to think that you have to hide your pricing every single time. So not every video is going to be priced the same. So we don't even have pricing on our website because it's just like asking how much a house costs, you know. I need to know how many, you know, rooms you need in there, the bathrooms, is it going to be granite countertops? There's a bigger conversation that goes into the price of any service, right? But when it comes to people asking just the particular hourly rates or how we put packages together, that doesn't intimidate me one bit. I was talking to somebody recently and explaining to them, the price that we put together is based on our overhead, our needs, our profit margin. It has nothing to do with somebody else's charging. Mm. You will find somebody to do it for way cheaper, and you'll find somebody to do it for way more expensive. So I don't really consider too much what other people are charging, especially when it comes to the videography and photography space, because you're going to hear budgets from the very, very low end, and you're going to hear things that are astronomical. So I don't really consider those things. So when somebody comes up and they're asking, you know, Tony, how do you put your packages together and your rates and that sort of thing, it doesn't bother me one bit, because I found that people are not coming to Tsunami for the price. Mm. They've never come to Tsunami for the price at all. It's been for the relationship. It's been for the way we treat them. I'd even argue that they're not coming so much for the quality. Mm. It's just been, they know that when they ask for a particular project to be done by a particular time, they know what's going to look right, sound right. They know what they're going to get. They're going to get it right back. We're easy to work with. But it's been seldom about, you know, the price is the best or the quality is the best. I'm proud of the quality we put together, and I think we do well. But it's really about the relationships we build. And I don't think that that's something that going back and forth on price with any competitor is going to make much of a difference. You can know the price. You can undercut me all you want. But when we go in the room, we make an emotional connection that's different from the one you're going to make.
Wow. Wow. This is game. And if you're just tuning in to Hot 91, you are listening to Tony Berrios, owner of Tsunami Digital Media, for all your marketing, photography, and videography needs. Now, here on Black Wall Street Today, and in general through Black Brand, I'm one who is hyper-focused on practical advice. Practical, actionable steps. A lot of mentors or consultants will give the advice of work hard, hustle, never stop. And while all that is important, the folks out there who are listening, they want some practical advice. So if for the videographer out there who wants to get into the government contracting space, all he has is his camera set up, he has a little bit of a portfolio, and he wants to put his foot in the door and start getting those government contracts, what are some practical steps that he or she should take to be able to, you know, get on the government contracting scene and maybe see their first government contracting dollar?
So let's do this. This conversation is going to be wide based on the budget you have at your disposal right now. And everybody is going to have a different budget that they could start with. But let's do this. Let's start at zero. What can you be doing with zero right now? You most likely have a smartphone. You have an iPhone or an Android. You got something, right? Go grab $20. Everybody's got $20. Just don't go have McDonald's today. Go get $20. Go get yourself a little tripod. You got a tripod for your phone. Go on Wix.com. Not that we have to go plug other things, but there's other websites. There's platforms where you can make a website for free. If you don't want to use that, you know, there are other platforms where you can make free websites, right? So start working on your portfolio with your phone, if that's all you have right now. Put it on a tripod. Make intentional content. So go to your local restaurant, for example. And if you're going after government contracting, you're going to want to see something about maybe training videos. Mm. So go in there and do a training video with the particular restaurant. Look at some of the things that they're constantly having to retrain and say, let me sit down and make a training video for this particular process, whatever it is. Start making educational content, something that you could lean into. You know, the SAM.gov site. There's a few other sites where you can see what the bids are out there. Find out what the government is looking for. Find out what your local government is looking for and the federal government is looking for. Make content around that as best you can within your particular means. You know, YouTube is free. Host your videos on there. There's a lot of different platforms. I don't want to go into just recommending one over the other because it's not going to matter too much. These are just tools. But really develop that content. Develop it with intention. Develop it with the idea of you want to solve a problem and do your research. Get on Google. Spend some time at night. I think the biggest thing aspiring entrepreneurs get into that they have trouble with is the time management. Mm. They start talking about, oh, I don't have the time to do this. I don't have the time to do that. We joke around. You've heard me say it. I'll tell people in the B-Force Accelerator, if you tell me you don't have time to grow your business, I don't want to see you talking about the game last night. I don't want to see you talking about what you ate the other day and what you're doing this weekend, because you got to want it. I just recently had a conversation with somebody online, and they were saying they wish they could chase their dreams, and they don't know when to make that leap, and they're upset because their hobbies and their passions don't make enough money to grow into what they want to do full time. And I asked the question, why would you expect to work 9 to 5 for somebody and get a particular amount of money, but then when you work for yourself, you do it 2 hours every now and then, and you're upset that you don't make the money you make at the 9 to 5?
Mm.
Like, this is all about time. It's choices and consequences. That's it. Like, these are the hard conversations a lot of people don't want to have. I tell people, year one, you are not going to see your friends and family as often as you would like to. You're not going to be at every game. You're not going to see every TV show, play every video game. You're not going to go to every dinner. You can't. So you're going to work 9 to 5 and 6 to 1 in the morning. You're going to be grinding in your business until this thing grows into something and you can make the decision with some strategy and figure out, okay, now this is making at least enough money at my 9 to 5. Now I can make this decision with some wisdom and really figure out when it's time to go. Because people think that they're going to, oh, I got my LLC. I'm quitting my 9 to 5 now and I'm going to get out there and grind. That doesn't work that way. Nobody, you know, the most successful people, you watch these Shark Tank guys, they don't talk about doing that. And we talk about so-and-so got it easier than the next one. At some point, somebody had to make the sacrifice of juggling 2 things at once, juggling 3 and 4 things at once. You ask any mom how they make do with being a full-time mom and a full-time employee, they could tell you about some juggling.
Yeah.
They could tell you about handling things. And it's most, a lot of times, these entrepreneurship, the guys that I hang around, you know, they got their stuff together and they know they got to chase and make the sacrifice. But some of the newer ones that start out and they're like, you know, Tony, you got this camera, this office, this whatever. How do I do it now? You're going to have to sacrifice some serious time. That's it. Have good people in your corner. Have a good husband, wife, whatever your situation is. Choose good people to be your life partners and move forward. People that believe in you. You know, we're wasting our time, people chasing perception. And that's the thing. We want to be successful really fast because we think people are watching.
So many gems he just dropped right there. Number one, he told you, start that portfolio. Focus on your customer. If your customer is the government, make sure that you're putting training videos, education videos up. Put it up on a platform. You can host it at YouTube. You can host it at Vimeo. There's lots of free platforms out there that you can host. And then the gem that I don't want you to lose is he said go to SAM.gov. That's SAM.gov. And you can see what the government is paying for videographers and videos right this very second. Tony, you have blessed us with so much education today and so much value. There's people out there right now who want to be able to reach out and say, even if they don't want a video, they just need a conversation with this man. How do they get in touch with Tony Berrios?
TsunamiDigitalMedia.com on any platform you go to, which is advice I give any business owner to. Stop being this on Instagram and Tsunami Digital Films on YouTube and Tsunami Digital Photography on this and underscore that 757. Your business name needs to be the same everywhere you put it. So anywhere you put Tsunami Digital Media, you'll find us.
That's TsunamiDigitalMedia.com. TsunamiDigitalMedia.com. Go to that website, reach out to Tony, and I personally put my stamp that this is one of the highest quality videographers in the entire state, and I've run into a bunch. Tony, thank you for bringing value to our listeners today, and for our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Hot 91 and Black Wall Street Today. Now, Black Wall Street Today is the radio show where we bring in the most innovative and hardworking entrepreneurs of Hampton Roads. If you know some innovative and hardworking entrepreneurs out there in Hampton Roads that can use a community of like-minded entrepreneurs who are facing the same struggle, or could use some resources, mentorship, or even access to capital to help grow their business, then you need to send them over to blackbrand.biz. That's blackbrand.biz. Remember, the Hampton Roads Regional Black Chamber of Commerce is here to support all entrepreneurs of color to help them battle the everyday hardships of being an entrepreneur in Hampton Roads. That's blackbrand.biz.
Phenomenal. Stay with us online at Black Wall Street Today on Facebook and Black Wall Street Today on Instagram. And then follow us on Twitter as well at BWS Today. We look forward to talking again next week. Have a wonderful week. I have said and I will continue to say that the most important priority for the Black community is the Black community, not a particular political party.
Phenomenal. Hey, yo, when I say Black, you say Wall Street. Black, Black Wall Street. When I say Black, you say Wall Street. Black.